Did you know that if Mario was a real person, he would have to run and swim 3.4 miles to complete the hit game Super Mario Brothers? You're listening to the Xbox Hub podcast, the official podcast of the xboxhub.com. For the latest Xbox news, reviews, videos and opinions, make sure you visit the xboxhub.com. But for now, settle down, get comfy, open your ears for some podcast delights. Hello, welcome to the Xbox Hub official podcast, episode number 17. My name's Gareth Bridie. I'm going to be your host today. And on my virtual left is Mr. James Burks. Hey, James.
Hello.
Hello.
You all right?
I like that. Optimistic to start with. Nice tone.
Yeah, it'll soon change.
Yeah. And on my virtual left, I think I've forgotten which one's right or left, is Mr. Neil Watton. How are you doing, Neil?
Hello.
Oh, very good. Very different tone. I like it completely. How are you both doing?
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah. Had a good week?
Yeah, I guess so.
Sorry, am I?
Not really.
Yeah, not really.
It's been crap.
We are prepared for this.
Yeah. It's like I'm the tax office ringing you, asking you some really difficult questions.
Don't know what you're going to ask next. That's the problem.
Why have you had a bad week, Neil?
My bike's broken.
Oh no!
Tell us more.
Well, it's broken. I need a man to come and fix it, but he can't come till next week.
What's broken?
Everything.
Oh no!
Has he got wheels?
It's not good. It's been in need of a service for, I don't know, a good month or so. But I've kind of been eking it out and just kind of wanting to wreck it completely. So the parts that I put on are kind of worthwhile.
Right.
And now it's kind of reached a point where it's the chain comes off every 5 seconds. If I stop, I fall off. it's no fun at the moment.
What was the final straw that you said, this is it, I can't do it, I can't drive it much further?
The other day I was riding along and there was a parked car in front of me, so I stopped to let another car come past the other way, and I was doing a track stand, which is where you just stand on your bike, you don't put your feet down, you just balance on your bike in stationary position, and I was doing that quite happy, and then I went to pull away, and as I put the power down, the chain came flying off and both feet are clipped in because I use clipped in shoes, and I was going one way and I couldn't unclip quick enough, and nearly ended up on the ground.
Oh.
And I thought, sod this, it needs to be fixed. So I can't come falling off every time I stop.
How much is it going to cost to get it fixed?
Well, I wouldn't like to say until I talk to the man.
Okay, yeah.
I've got a few upgrades that I want to do though. So
in case he's listening to this.
Yeah. I want the best deal possible. So.
What kind of upgrades can you get? You get some like nerfs, some nitrous oxide. What
upgrades can you get?
Yeah,
I don't need that anyway. I've got legs.
Like fast enough, are you?
Yeah, certainly am.
And that's sad. But Neil, did you get any offers about your chip shop? Last week's podcast, Neil said his dream is
I've heard nothing.
So let's put it out there again. If you own a chip shop, or you know someone in a chip shop, Neil's dream is to work in one for an afternoon or an evening. Just one shift.
Yeah.
So let us know.
I'll do it free as well.
Yeah, absolutely you will.
Yeah.
They're not going to get you in
as long as you
pay
come and
you.
Pick me up. Take me there.
In the south area, near the New Forest, around that area somewhere.
Yeah. All right. But I don't like fish, so if it could just be a sausage and chip night, then that'd be fine.
I like the way they do nights. Yeah, sausage and chip ladies' night. Sausage and chip night. It's ladies' night at the chip shop. James, what about you? What have you done this week? Anything fun?
Well, as usual, I've been watching quite a lot of Netflix.
Yeah.
And even more so this week, because there's a lot of Studio Ghibli films been put on there.
Ah.
You know, the Japanese animation studio.
Yeah.
I think you put about 8 new films on.
So these are the people who have done films like Spirited Away.
Exactly, yeah. And the ones that are at the that's not on there at the moment, but it will be coming soon. But like Catherine Sky, Kiki's Delivery Service, Porco Rosso, which is about a World War veteran that's been turned to a pig and he flies planes.
Yes.
But then it's not all odds like that. There's some really lovely stories in there. Even just about like people that have grown up and wanted to do something like working a chippy. Not quite, but they want to live the dreams out later on in life. And there's some lovely stories in there if you give them a watch.
Neil, have you seen any of these films?
I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Honestly, I
haven't got a clue.
You should give them a go. At least wait till Spirited Away comes on. Give Spirited Away a go. I think that's an easier one in, I think.
What is it? It's like
Japanese animation films. They're way ahead of the time. They were like in the starting in the late 80s, early 90s. But they're still not lovely now, you know, to watch them.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have got English language audio as well now. So you don't have to read the subtitles. And they've got some big names doing the dubbing. Like Daisy Ridley from Star Wars. She does some of the voiceovers. It's worth a go.
Yeah, definitely.
I know Neil probably won't, but anyone else out there...
Not, there's no probably won't about it. I won't.
I didn't think you watched Titans, but you did.
No, but I kind of half understand that.
Yeah.
Don't understand the story about a pig that flies fighter jets in the war?
Is that not relatable to
you?
He's not going to watch it. James is not going to watch it. It's not going to happen. But other people might, and they should give it a go.
Yeah, definitely.
Any Korean this week? You've been learning your Korean? What have you got?
Well, I've gone for a simple one, but it's a phrase, and it'll be useful to everyone.
Yep.
This week it's ODA Kayo.
ODA Kayo.
Is it something to do with pancakes?
No. That's where are you going?
Where are you going? ODA Kayo.
You can just stop people in the street and go, ODA Kayo.
Hello.
You can do that now, Rusty.
ODA Kayo. Yeah.
Do you not think that would be slightly scary and stalkerish if you ask people that?
I think Gareth should try it. See how he gets on.
Depends how
I give him an hour.
Depends how I say it. If I go, ODA Kayo, like that, it could be very weird. especially in Peckham, just walking down the street. ODA Kayo. Yeah. Good. I'm just going to talk about this briefly. I went to a gallery on Sunday. I went to Tate Britain. Have you ever been to Tate Britain? It's near the Houses of Parliament, and it's free. And I went to Tate.
I think I have.
I bet you have.
I think I have. Yeah.
It's got some. Yeah, I went to. It's free, but you. I went to a William Blake, the painter and wordsmith exhibition. So I think they paid for that, and it was packed. But anyway, I was going around looking at the other paintings, all the kind of landscapes and the sort of beautiful kind of thing. And I was looking and thinking how much games have been inspired by paintings. And how I just thought I was really interested in thinking about how they've been inspired, especially those kind of like almost like Skyrim or those kind of big, even things like Zelda, you know, these kind of big vistas you see. And also I was thinking about how many games that I've played that have got paintings in the game. Can you remember some of those?
PUBG.
PUBG, yeah, exactly. The Division.
Yeah.
Division.
We went for a whole gallery, didn't we?
I like the PUBG paintings because you go in one house, which is exactly the same as the house just over the road, and the paintings are exactly the same as the house over the road.
It's like those paintings. Remember I brought those paintings of like a little boy, cartoon boy crying? In the 70s and 80s, it's like those in PUBG. Yeah. They bought a job lot from a guy in a van.
We got 1,000 of them. Where can we put them? Stick them in the houses.
Stick them in the houses.
In the exact same place as the other house.
Yeah. But it was kind of, it was just amazing thinking about, because we know, like, game developers always talk about how they go into cities and they take pictures of everything and that inspires their architecture of the game, but also they do that with galleries as well, especially for some of the more kind of fantasy stuff. So that's been our week. That's been a good week. Well, apart from Neil, you and James have had a fantastic week. Let's do questions. Now, every week we ask our guests in-depth questions to find out their psyche, their hidden truths about their personalities. And I've got three questions here I'm going to ask each of you, and I'll reply as well. And then we're going to do some would-you-rather questions as well. So question number one, what movie or TV program scared the hell out of you as a kid? Let's go for Neil. Can you think of one?
Crime Watch.
Crime Watch.
Still can't watch it now. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if it's on now. I'm guessing it's probably not. But I used to hate that program. Just the intro music. That was it. That was me. Go on.
Wow. What was it? It was just the reconstructions of the crime. So Crime Watch, for people who don't know, because they're young. And Crime Watch was this program on BBC. It was every month, wasn't it? 9:30.
Monthly?
I think it was daily
in my life.
Recurring nightmare. And they used to reconstruct crimes that happened with actors and stuff. And then they would live, people then could ring up and go, I saw Neil on his bike. And he was the one who did it. And they used to reconstruct these crimes. And that's what gave you nightmares.
Yeah, but at the end, they always used to say, don't have nightmares. Thanks very much.
And you did. I think you should sue them. Because it wasn't true. You did have nightmares.
I didn't actually have nightmares because I didn't watch it. I couldn't bring myself to watch it.
Could you remember the one that put you off?
I don't want to remember it.
Let's relive it now. Sit down.
I think there was probably one with an axe murderer who was going through a downstairs bedroom window and then murdered a child the same age as me at the same time, probably.
Sick grim.
That sounds like a game. Are you sure
happened? Yeah, that's the thing. It happens in games all the time now. Yeah. It's not an issue. You know, like Friday the 13th or whatever. You can play that. It's not a problem. But when I was 10 years old, that used to scare the hell out of me.
Good answer, Neil. I like that. James?
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. That was the worst for me. Did you remember that scene where the bad guy tries to rip the heart out of...
Yeah.
And he goes, Calamar Shatterday. Calamar. And that really got me.
Just the idea of someone ripping a heart out of you.
Yeah, it was a bit much.
Yeah.
And the people that knew this would do this deliberately, more so afterwards.
People would do it to you?
Yeah. Oh. Not actually take my heart out.
No.
I still got that.
Glad you clarified.
Yeah, I'm not completely heartless.
Nice.
Yeah, that was hard to watch that film. I haven't watched it since, actually.
Wow. What age were you?
I can do.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean eight?
Right. Maybe. It's quite dark. It's a dark film. Temple of Doom.
Yeah, it's quite young.
Okay.
Either that or Child's Play.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've got,
back in the 70s, when I was a kid, we had... We had public information films that used to come on sort of late at night, and there were warnings about something. So there'd be a film about someone dying in a power station. Like, don't, as a kid, climb into power stations, like, to get your ball, because you're going to die.
Or your kite.
And there was one I remember, there was all these, and I remember it really clearly, it was these group of kids, and they're playing on a farm, and they're doing this sort of like almost pretending to be witches, and they drink, I don't know, farm stuff. Farm liquid. And then it cuts to sort of like at the end, this girl in bed, and she gets up and she starts going screaming because it's burning her throat or killing her. And that gave me nightmares when I was really young. And I imagined every night that I was going to die.
And you're drinking farm liquid.
I
want to know what farm liquid
I should have stopped drinking the farm liquid.
I'm slightly worried by farm liquid.
I don't know. It could be, I don't know, things that farmers use, liquid things.
Milk.
Milk. Yeah, could be milk. Question two. If you could live in one game world, what would it be? Now, the reason I'm asking this, there's a film coming out with Ryan Reynolds, I think in the summer. And I've forgotten the name of it, but he plays an NPC in a kind of like GTA universe, which he goes about. And then after a while, he starts to go, is this it? And so he's being a normal person walking around getting coffee and all this chaos is going around him. James, any idea? If you had a gaming world?
I mean, the first thing that came to my mind was like a racing game, like Mario Kart.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's all the different colourful places. You're always racing and having fun. I'm going Mario Kart.
Mario Kart.
Yeah.
That's a good answer. Neil?
I'm upset you said a racing game because that's the first thing that came to my head.
Yeah.
And I would say, like, something like Forza Horizon, just because you get to drive some really nice cars. But Test Drive Unlimited, is that what it was called?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got to drive cars, you got to build houses, you got to go to the casino and win lots of money. Perfect.
Wow.
Can't argue with that.
I was thinking about this and I thought...
You're thinking about something like you know, something fantasy, aren't you? And
yeah, because I could
Skyrim
live...
Skyrim or something.
Farming sim.
I could live in...
Farming sim, yeah. Live on your tractor and farm.
You want some farm liquid.
I could live...
Or on that speedboat, so... Sorry for jumping in. I'm not going to let you get on speedboats. You'd like to live on a speedboat and speedboat challenge.
But the problem
around
is,
that island.
The problem with Forza Horizon is England. You do live in this place, don't you?
Yeah, but I don't have access to all the nice cars.
Oh, that's true. Okay, good. I don't know what mine would be. The problem is most games, there's a risk of death. That's the whole point of gaming. I think maybe it'd be nice to go to Skyrim or something like that, but you know you're going to die pretty quickly. Then I thought maybe somewhere like Zelda or something like that, and then I just don't know. I think I maybe like to do Red Dead, that world. Yeah, I'm going to go for Red Dead, but I'll probably be dead in about 5 minutes.
Tied up and back on the train tracks.
That's on the train tracks. But, you know, maybe I could just go in there.
Barkeeper.
That's a good idea.
Is that what you call them? In the saloon.
In the saloon, good, well done.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm not really afraid of it, but I know the lingo.
You do know the lingo.
I don't think I'd want to be anywhere near the Red Dead
No,
world,
I think you're
honest.
Right.
I think the clue is in the title.
Okay.
As a cyclist, though, actually, yeah. I could be in the Tour de France 2015, the official video game world.
Yeah,
and that'd be great. Apart from, the game was crap,
and it looks terrible. You'll be in a worse looking France than in real life. okay, question number three: if you had unlimited funds to build a house that you'd live in for the rest of your life, what would the finished house look like, Neil?
This is a podcast. It's all in audio. How the hell can I explain that?
Just tell us what kind of thing. Is it going to be like a terraced house? Is it going to be like a huge mansion of a house? What kind of thing would you like?
I would have a big glass house overlooking the sea.
Somewhere. I was thinking.
You're not coming. Just for me.
I'll get one next door.
No, you're not getting one next door.
So you both got...
It'd be on the south coast of England, because that's where it's nicest. Overlooking the Isle of Wight.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
What about you, James?
Yeah, somewhere in the wilderness, maybe in Scandinavia, with a glass house near the sea.
You love your glass houses, don't you?
Yeah. Like the one...
We're modern and on trend.
Is it the one in Ex Machina? Is it a glass house in that? Like that. Overlooking a river or something. Very nice.
I'm going to go for... I would like to live by the sea, but I do love my cities. and I think I have to pick London again. And I go to nearer to a place which is near me in Greenwich, but I'd have a huge townhouse, like a really tall one, with like maybe 8 floors.
I thought this might go for a yurt or something.
A yurt?
Yeah. Get one with the animals in the countryside.
I've been in a tent twice in my life. The first one, I was 8, I hated it. The second time, I had to go to Latitude to do a gig there. And I had to put the tent on myself, and I put it up on a bank.
But so with all that money, you get someone to put it up for you.
I know.
And you can make it out of the most curious materials.
I never want to live in a tent. I never want to live in a tent. Right, quickly.
So you'd stay in London then?
I think so, yeah. I do love the sea, though. Maybe I'll get two. No, if I had to really commit, I think I'll stay in London.
See, I can do London for a day, and then I come home filthy.
Yeah.
And I hate it, and I don't want to go back again for like another 3 months.
No.
I couldn't. Whatever. I don't know how you do it every day. To be honest, it's just too manic. I'd have a headache constantly.
I just like, for me, everyone has this, but when you're here, it's hard. It's hard to get out because it's exciting.
It's a hard life.
It's hard because it's nice. It was very nice to have that. It's having the access to everything I really like quickly. I know everyone can have that. I do like it. Yeah.
It'd be nice to just be able to go out every night or every other night for a meal and have something different.
Yeah.
Mm.
Instead of going to the old local pub every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one thing I do like about London, but I would not swap living there for.
No. Okay, would you rather questions, very quick ones? Neil, you're going to go first.
You said quick 3 times already now. We're only 20 minutes in.
I know.
I'm keeping count, don't worry.
We're going to slow it down.
Would you rather experience the beginning of planet Earth or the end of planet Earth? So you've got a kind of like a ringside seat, you're watching it. What would you like to see?
How long am I there for?
Well, let's say an hour.
An hour?
Yeah.
Yeah, the beginning would be cool.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you rather win £50,000 or let your best friend win £500,000?
I'd have 50 grand, thank you very much. But, unless they're a really, really, really best friend and they give me half of what
they win. You can't do that. You don't know. They might do. But you can't know that.
It's not them. Christ.
Okay. Would you rather run at 100 miles an hour or fly at 10 miles an hour?
Fly at 10 miles an hour because you haven't stated how high I can fly. So if I'm really high,
yeah,
that 10 miles an hour would be faster than running at 100 miles an hour.
All right. Good. Right, James, yours. Yeah. Would you rather rule the world or live in a world with absolutely no problems at all?
Rule the world.
But you could have a world that's completely free of poverty.
But if I'm in charge, I could do it anyway.
You won't, though.
First of all, I won't. That would be the first thing I'd do, definitely.
It'd be years of darkness and destruction, and then there might be some good.
I mean, I don't know what you think of me, but... I'm quite hurt. Destroyed it now.
Okay, nothing. Would you rather live in an amusement park or a zoo?
Oh, a zoo. Definitely a zoo.
Yeah, good.
It depends what's in the zoo. What's in the zoo?
Well, it's a good zoo. There's animals. Lots of animals.
What kind?
Elephants, snakes.
No, not yet. Keep going.
Pigeons.
Any monkeys?
There's monkeys there, yeah.
All right, I'm in.
Good. Would you rather read minds or accurately predict the future?
Oh. Predict the future.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah.
Good choice. Good choices, you two. Okay. What games have you been playing? Let's have a little chat about that. It's still quite slow, isn't it? But Neil, have you had a go at anything this week?
I've been playing Zombie Army 4, Dead War, for the last couple of weeks. I haven't got very far, to be honest, but I had a nice little playthrough and I did a stream and a let's play of the first level that was called, that I can't remember what it's called, Dead Ahead, that's it.
Right.
And yeah, it's as good as I thought it was going to be. So if you've played the previous games and you know what Dead Army, what's it called? Zombie Army.
Is all about.
Yeah.
How is it different? Is it different at all? Is there new bits? Is it?
There's new bits. It looks very good. I think it looks better than it did before. And it looks... It reminds me a lot of Strange Brigade, but mainly because of the people behind it. So Rebellion did Strange Brigade. They're doing this as well. So it looks very good. There's some nice little puzzly elements. There's some nice Easter eggs as well hidden away. I don't want to say too much, but you go into like train carriages and stuff like that, and there's some scary little things in there. Mm.
What kind of puzzles? Are they like the ones in Strange Brigade?
Puzzling puzzles.
Let's clear it up. Right.
No, like, I don't know.
A puzzle. A good puzzle.
Puzzle, yeah.
Right, Sudoku.
Yeah, there's some Sudoku in the middle of it. Yeah. So as you're shooting zombies, you've got to complete a Sudoku puzzle.
Before they kill you.
Not necessarily.
Oh. Now,
you can go back to it after you've died.
The levels are quite big, aren't they? They're big levels when you go through.
They're massive levels, yeah. I was doing a stream, and at the time we were restricted to the first stage or an hour. Well, I got two-thirds of the way through the first stage and nearly hit my hour, so I thought I'd stop about there.
Wow.
So, yeah, you're probably looking at a good... If you know what you're doing, it's an hour. First time around, you're looking at an hour and 20 minutes, I would think, just to do the first.
So when we play it, it will take about 4 hours, then, will it? To do one level.
Quite possibly.
Given our skills.
Yes.
And are there checkpoints? So if you went 20 minutes in, do you have a checkpoint that you can load up again? Or do you have to load the whole level up again?
I don't know. I haven't tried that. But I think you're probably having to do the whole thing in one go.
Yeah.
There are checkpoints because it splits the level down into stages. Like the first one is split into 3 stages. Whether you can jump out or not, I don't know. I haven't tried it. But I'm not sure.
You couldn't do it in the other games, could you?
I don't think so.
Even if you snap for a week, you can't.
Okay. Yeah. And is it good single player? Because it's a co-op. It's built for co-op, but single player, good experience.
Yeah. I liked it very much. Yep. Our review went live and Daniel did that. He gave it a 4 out of 5.
Okay.
And across the board, I think it's probably getting 4 out of 5s, 8 out of 10s. I think I saw 1 9 out of 10.
Okay.
But roughly, we're looking at 7s and 8s. So, That's
good.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, okay, good.
I have to get on that.
James, what have you been playing?
Oh, you know I've got a massive backlog of games.
So yes, the big ones with huge ones, huh? Yeah.
It's beginning the Great War of China. But I thought I'd try one of them this week. So I went for Trooperbrook.
One of the big ones. Get one of the big ones done, yeah?
I thought, what's everyone, you know... Still playing these days. I thought definitely Trooperbrook. So I thought I'd keep up with them.
Explain what Trooperbrook is.
I'll try.
Yeah.
It's a point and click that's set in, I think it's during the Cold War. And you follow this guy called Hans, who randomly wins a trip to Trooperbrook. And somehow, he ends up trying to save the world, in a nutshell. And it's just your typical play and clicker with, you've got to find items, interact with the environment. But I think the most unique thing about it is the scenery, because it's actually all handcrafted.
Mm.
I know you've played it, it does look, despite being handcrafted, you wouldn't realise it looks... It looks so real. It looks like a real village. You know, when you play through it.
I think I reviewed it, didn't I?
I think you do.
It is really good fun. The animation style is stop motion, we think, isn't it? And it's almost like, I don't know if they are kind of models, like I'm trying to think of
I think they're made out of clay.
Clay models, yeah. And there's
like morph.
Yes. And it's, some of it's beautiful as well. It's actually really brilliant design. And it's hard. It's a hard point and clicker, if I remember. It's one of those old fashioned point and clickers when things don't necessarily make sense, you have to try a few different variations. Do you find that, James?
And you have to interact with everything as well. You've got to try everything a few times before it clicks. That's what I need to do.
Yeah, and that you wouldn't necessarily have thought of that, would you?
No. It's a bit of an odd story as well, from what I've seen so far. I mean, a bit supernaturally, safe to say that.
It's playing with alternate universes as well.
Yeah, so far.
Well, it's good. I'm glad you caught up with these big hitting games.
Yeah, I'm going to try Elder Scrolls Oblivion next time. That's a new one, isn't it?
Yeah. Maybe you should do a let's play of just James playing these games he's never played before.
Yeah. Blast from the past.
Yeah. Good. I've been playing Kentucky Route Zero for the last week and a bit, and I should maybe get a review out tomorrow, Friday, or the end of the week. And Kentucky Route Zero is a game that came out in 2013, and it's 5 episodes. And the first episode came out on PC, Apple, on Steam in 2013. Got really big, did awards, people loved it. And then they've sort of like released an episode every couple of years or so until the end of January 2020. They released the final episode and it went to console for the first time. So the thing I've been reviewing is all 5 episodes plus these little bonus episodes before each episode. And it is the most strangest, unique, brilliant game I think I've played in a long time. If you're a fan of writing, if you're a fan of stories, you're going to love it. If you're not, you're going to struggle here. That's what I'm saying, first of all. It's like a point-and-click magic realism adventure. But it's unlike anything you've ever played before. For example, there's a scene where I go into an office at some point, and I was clicking on the list things, and it went number 1 archives, number 2 operationals, number 3 bears, number 4 requests. So like a normal office, but there's a floor just full of bears, and I thought, oh, that must be a mistake. So I went up on the list, and as the list was going up, I just saw this office, just loads of bears just in there. So it has that kind of really surreal, strange world all the time.
Yeah,
almost like a sort of like a David Lynch movie, or something really strange and odd that you don't know what's real, what's unreal. And the idea of this Route Zero is this kind of road that this delivery driver at the beginning is trying to do a delivery, and he's trying to find this address. And the only way he can get into this thing called Route Zero. And Route Zero is like a road that doesn't exist. It's like an alternate universe, other road. So. And that's where the game starts. It starts with the driver and his dog asking for directions, and then you go off and meet all these kind of wonderful, strange characters and strange places. It's so hard to describe, but it is, I think, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
And it's a point and clicker.
It's a point and clicker, really. I mean,
is there a lot of puzzles to it?
No, not really.
Or mini games.
No. You're sort of just travelling through. Yeah.
Point it's just one that I joined the story.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, the story is, there's some bits that you're just reading, and sometimes you hear just these brilliantly short stories by people, because what they've done in that world is like, because they've got an overall arc of this kind of journey of these characters trying to find this delivery, but they've got lots of little side stories as well that go off, but they're like short stories. At one point you actually go into another game called Xanadu, so you play an old, like, like
19... Wasn't that a film?
Yeah, it was a film. Like, you play like an old 1980s, action adventure game. I mean, you know, like the ones like The Hobbit used to be on the Commodore 64 and those kind of games.
Yeah. It's
like Go North, things like that. yeah, it's amazing. But if you're a fan of kind of action, you don't like stories, you don't like narrative, I think it's going to be hard for you to play this.
How much is it?
I don't know how much it is for the whole bit. I should really find that out.
Yeah.
I think if it's, I reckon if it's 24 quid, it's good value. I mean, it's a lot of gameplay. It's a lot of gameplay. Because each episode sort of taking me maybe
three. It's 21 hours, pounds.
£21. That's good. 3 hours long. Three hours. Plus, you've got the little pre things as well. Five of those. About an hour each. Yeah, it's a good little package. Really good. So I should have there's a little Let's Play I did of the first episode. And then that's on our YouTube thing. And then a review thing, I think. There we go.
I saw somebody talking about this game the other day on a video. And they said it was the game of the decade.
Oh.
Is that right?
What do you think? Yeah, I mean, narratively it is. It's the best written game you've ever been. Because it's just so unusual. Yeah. It's so ambitious. But it is like looking at a bit of performance art or something. It's like looking at something different. It's not going to be a straight thing. And what's kind of what I want at some points, the sort of storyteller and the narrator, so you might play in that perspective of that man, and you're making choices as that man first of all, but then suddenly you're making choices as a kid who's a sort of like bit part player in the story. At one point I'm in this place and I'm looking at my main characters and controlling them through security cameras, and I'm making decisions from the people who I never see behind the security camera, makes sense. So it really switches who's telling the story, and it's about stories. But there are some moments that I just felt, like, without spoiling this, just moments that you go, oh, wow. Lovely music as well. The music is amazing. Yeah, I really love it. So I would highly recommend it if you want to do something different.
Yeah,
look at Neil. Anything else?
I've played a bit of
yeah,
PUBG, just because season 6 has come along. They've got a new map on that. Same old, really. Apart from the map is a bit smaller, a lot smaller. Yeah. It's a bit mad. But other than that, I've also been playing Glass Masquerade 2 Illusions, which comes out next week, I think.
And what is that?
Next week, on the 14th of Feb on Xbox. It's following on from Glass Masquerade 1, which released start of last year, I think it was. And it's basically jigsaw puzzles that you fill in. So you get a central blank kind of canvas, and you have a load of fragments, like stained glass fragments around the outside, and you have to pick them up, rotate them a bit, stick them in the jigsaw, complete the jigsaw, go on to the next one. It's pretty good. Okay. It looks really, really good. It can get very, very frustrating, mainly because you don't know what you're building. But when you're doing a jigsaw, you're looking at the box.
Yeah.
This, you've just got a load of pieces, and you just have to work out where they fit, and you don't know until the very end what you've made. And even then, it's so abstract and so kind of full of colour, you don't know what you're building. But it's all right. To sit back and just kind of controller in hand for 20 minutes and do a level, it's kind of perfect for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And that's out next week, on the 14th?
Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day. That's good one, your loved one, get your loved one. play jigsaw.
Jigsaw together.
Nice.
There's loads of content out though, so I don't know how much it'll be actually. So how much was the last one?
It's about 15.
15 quid?
Yeah.
The last one was a tenner. So
I think it's a bit more this one.
Another 50% on top of that. It's asking a lot. But then you get 30 levels. And you get like normal difficulty and then a hard difficulty, which means you have to rotate the pieces entirely yourself on the normal difficulty. You just pick the piece up, it rotates it to the right kind of angle and plane and whatever. And you throw it in. But I haven't tried the hard yet. but that what? Could be so annoying.
Don't do that. Don't do it.
No, I'm not going to.
No. James, anything else?
Nothing new, really. I've played with my Rocket League.
Good.
But it's so frustrating. Playing with random people.
Yeah.
Yeah. People talk about how sometimes the gaming world can be quite toxic.
Yeah.
Rocket League is the most toxic game on the whole Xbox. Even when you're winning, people are so mean.
Yeah.
It's so mean. One guy forfeited when we're winning because he said I was rubbish. Even though I was top.
Was this chat through the in-game text yes. thing?
Yeah.
Just block it out, James. Just ignore it.
It's worse when you've got the headset on. And they're swearing. Every swear name you can think of, a swear word.
Wow.
And they're at the bottom of the table. And you think, just keep quiet. You know, do yourself no favours here.
Do you know what's the worst online environment?
Go on.
Online backgammon, apparently. Yeah, my friend plays online. Oh. Online backgammon on his PC, and he said it's like hell on earth. The abuse you get, he said, is terrible. And he has to lie, and he keeps saying to them, when they give him abuse, he goes, I don't understand why you keep telling me. I'm a 90-year-old woman from Newcastle. You keep giving me this abuse. It's not fair on my heart. And they still keep going. Yeah.
I never expect that.
No, not online backgammon.
It's funny you should say that, though, because I reviewed, I think it was Pure Chess or something chess, some chess game anyway.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago. And I was playing that online with people, and the messages I got from them on that.
Really?
Ridiculous. Mm. Yeah, through the Xbox messaging system. It's crazy. I don't play an awful lot of multiplayer games to kind of get involved in all the rubbish that goes around with it all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was quite amazed by that. But you saying about backgammon and then chess as well, yeah.
Well, it's really interesting. You know, the other night I played FIFA, had a game of FIFA, and I my message went at the end of the game. You know, like, you know, you've got a message, like, oh, here we go. I'm going to get something from this thing. And the person just went, good game. And I was like, I'm so shocked now of getting a message like that, just saying good game. Yeah. When I first started, you know, online gaming on the Xbox, it was all a bit like, it was a lot more, it felt a lot more generous, a lot more kind of toxic, didn't it?
It was so much more friendly than I said about it before.
Yeah.
I used to play Splinter Cell, Chaos Theory and Pandora, me and a couple of mates. And we used to just sit there in a lobby, wait for people to join in. One or two people would join. We'd talk to them.
Yeah.
They become friends further down the line, and then they changed the whole chat system and put in parties, and as soon as parties went in, that's ruined everything.
I think the demographic changed as well, though.
I guess a lot of
older gamers and even, you know, 20 plus, but you didn't get many kids playing it, even Call of Duty, whereas now you're like 12-year-olds playing it.
Yeah,
should be.
Yeah.
So people aren't, you know, respecting the rules of the games. You know, it's an 18 game. Keep them off it.
Yeah.
The big boys playing.
But you say that.
Yeah, I know.
My eldest, he used to play Call of Duty when he was 12, but he never went online screaming and shouting and calling the other people every name of the sun. But that's not a gaming problem, is it? That's just a societal problem.
Yeah, and it's definitely changed since the early days. There's a lot more than that now. In every game.
I think that's the end of what we've been playing. I've got another thing, but I'll leave that till next week. I saw something which made me think, which links in a little bit with what we're talking about here, but maybe a little bit. Did you see in the news this week that Dan Houser from Rockstar Games, he's left Rockstar and Take-Two?
Yes.
I heard about it.
And his brother's still there. They set up the GTA games together. Sam Houser's still there. Dan Houser's left. Which is kind of an interesting thing, first of all. There's two things to this. First of all, he's left. And I think they're probably in the middle of their new GTA game, which is rumored to come out 2021 maybe. But I think it's probably in mid development, or you know, it's there. So it's very interesting to hear about him leaving. And the second thing was, he said about a couple of years ago, I think he took a break from the company, and he was talking about GTA maybe a year and a half ago and saying, I think the next GTA is going to be really hard because we live in a very different world now. What with people's ideas towards sexism, people's ideas towards the race, you know, about how it's a much more sensitive world now, that he was kind of concerned about whether GTA would fit into that. How do they tell that story? And I'm super interested about him kind of going as well. I mean, he's probably had enough as well. He's probably been doing it for so long.
Probably made enough money.
Exactly. They're billionaires, aren't they? So it's like, that's probably why it's gone. But also, it made me think about the new GTA. And I thought, yeah, could you, you know, even GTA 5, which came out, 2013, 14. Would that stand up now? Would that be okay in this point, where we are politically at this point? And I think GTA is a comment on that society at that time. It's almost like a, what's it called? It laughs at it. It takes the mick out of it. It analyzes what it is and then puts it out there. And it's quite clever in that. But other people find it very offensive. What do you two think? Do you think a new GTA would be strange now or fine? It would fit in.
I never played the fifth one really.
Right.
But I know the GTA from the ones that I have played, it really isn't as the PC in any way, is it? They don't hold back in the killing, the shooting, even the strip clubs, you know, they've all featured quite heavily, aren't they, in the previous ones?
Yeah.
I think people that like GTA will still buy into it. Because you have to remember, it is a game at the end of the day. Like you say, it is more social commentary on that kind of stuff than it is glorifying it. It doesn't really glorify it, does it? I suppose.
It doesn't glorify it at all.
No.
Not in my eyes, anyway. It doesn't. Yeah. And you just said it yourself. It's a game. You play it if you want to play it.
That's right, right.
If you don't want to play it, if you don't agree with it, you don't buy it, you don't play it. It's a simple life, really. People complicate things.
It's interesting, isn't it? I think he probably came from a point. I'm speculating here like a madman.
Yeah.
But he, you know, when they made Red Dead, the second one, which they invested a lot of time in, 7 years, and he co-wrote it. When you get Red Dead, it's a game about morality in the end, really. Even though you have got these elements of shooting and all that, I think, but it's a game about morality and about kind of life and about
choices.
It's a very different story. Rather than in GTA 5, you've got Trevor, who is like the ultimate, brilliantly written, brilliantly played, but is the ultimate kind of like bad guy, in a sense, isn't he? This kind of like mad hero. It's just interesting to see. Yeah, it would be interesting to see where they go. And also, there is something about, it's interesting, they've never had a kind of, I like the way GTA 5 had those three characters that you could swap between. I really like that. I'm thinking about, but we haven't had a sort of female character yet as one of those as well, which would be interesting to see what they do in that world as well, as a lead.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to get that.
I mean, I think they will take a new, they'll bring something completely different into it, I think.
Yep. They like always do, don't they?
Character, or it might even just be more characters.
Yeah.
You know, but
there's a rumour that it's going to be multi-worlds. Mm. It is going to be multi-places, so you won't be in one place. You'll go to different ones. You know,
that's risky.
You go to mine, and then you'll go
each place has to be a bit smaller, doesn't it?
Yeah, possibly.
In that sense.
Yeah.
You know what would be good? If they said, we'll do it single player only. I know they'll never say that.
No.
The amount of money they've made from GTA Online. But I suppose they could keep GTA Online rolling.
I think
they might then just go GTA 6 standard. Yeah.
single player. See, I don't mind the online because it's so separate to the single player. I mean, it's like Red Dead.
Oh, it's a totally different game. It's completely different, yeah.
I mean, it's really interesting when Red Dead Online thing. I've got no interest in it at all, which I said before, you know, because I did it, first of all, and then I was like, it's so weirdly, it's too odd compared to the single player journey, you know, it doesn't feel right to play it. I've just not been back there. But some people would just play the Red Dead Online, or some people would just play GTA Online and not play the single player.
Some could play neither.
No, exactly. And it's going to be interesting. I think him leaving is really interesting because he's such a big part of that.
Yeah, it might be going in a new direction, and maybe he didn't get behind it, or maybe he didn't feel that it was right for the series.
Yeah,
we never know.
It's speculative.
No, until it comes out. When it comes out, we'll know.
We won't know. Anything else caught your eye in the news this week?
There's a new game coming out for you, Gareth.
Oh yeah.
Construction Simulator 3.
Oh, God.
The console edition. I know you played the second one, haven't you?
Tell me about this.
Well, it's a construction game.
Yeah.
And it's a simulation.
Yeah.
And it's a sequel.
is it set in a different place? Is it a new... How's it moving on?
Where was it set last time?
In some hellhole.
Well, it's called Neustein, the new place.
All right, okay.
And it's a European city.
Oh, okay. I think I was sort of in the desert in a new town build. It was like, it's terrible.
We're going to have more missions, and it's got a lot of licensed vehicles in it as well. Oh,
brilliant.
Like, from Caterpillar, Bobcat, all the big ones.
If you get to play Construction 2 ever, and I didn't mind Construction 2 at all, because it does a different job. But you basically go around, and you do odd jobs around places, like you dig holes and put drain pipes in. But it's quite detailed about how you have to do this stuff. I spent maybe 2 hours trying to make my digger not fall over and try to get the bearings right for it. Oh. And at one point, I spent another hour trying to put cement into my truck. That's how sometimes detailed it was. And speeding fines. You get speeding fines all the time. I was just losing money. I was bankrupt by the first 4 hours of it. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to construction. When's construction? When's it out?
Soon.
It's not like an official date, I don't think.
They're teasing.
No, it's going to be. It's going to be very soon, though.
Yeah, imminent.
I understand.
Teasing it. Wow.
Do you remember the mirrors in the first one? You know, the vehicles?
Yeah.
Well, they fixed the problem with that now. Now they all move, the mirrors.
Oh.
So you can look behind you better.
Good.
Oh, that helps.
That helps. There was this roundabout that I saw in the town, in this hellhole of a town, right? And you go to the roundabout, and the cars would just go round in a circle. They would never get off. It scared the hell out of me. They would never leave the exits. Oh, it creeped the hell out of me, that place. Yeah.
We look forward to that anyway.
I'm looking forward to it, yeah. Neil, anything that's caught your eye? Anything?
A bit slow, not really. There's a little bit of Game Pass stuff, just a couple of new games coming. Yeah. Final Fantasy 15. Not bothered about that at all. Wolfenstein Youngblood, which is a decent little co-op game. Yeah. Played a bit of it until my Xbox decided it didn't want to play it anymore. It kept overheating the Xbox.
I've got it as well, and I only played a bit of it. I need to go back to it.
Could you actually play it?
Yeah,
I was trying to play it co-op, and it just kept throwing me off and crashing.
We had the same problem at the same time. Our Xboxes, they were crashing us, weren't they? So it might be, but Final Fantasy's a good... That's a good addition. It's a big game there, if you like that stuff. I played a little bit of it.
Final Fantasy, yeah.
Okay, good. Which brings us nicely on to what we're going to chat about this week, which is the playing together, co-op games.
Best kind of games.
Yeah, so we're going to talk
about... Worst kind of games.
The worst kind of games are the best kind of games. That's what we're going to say. The best or worst. Let's start with the best. For you, James, why do you love co-op games so much?
I think I just enjoy the... camaraderie and the working together. you know, to solve problems or to win, depending what the game it is.
Yeah.
And I think the best games for that are like the sports games, like your FIFA and even driving games like Burnout. I mean, Burnout Paradise back in the day, you could spend hours and hours on that online, completing challenges. And it would literally be with eight random people, and you'd have a great time. And there was no animosity, no swearing. And you'd just be doing rip the groups, you'd be doing drifts. It's so much fun.
Okay.
When you do something together like that. Then you get the good games that in the shooters as well. I know we've played Division, haven't we?
We have.
And you get so invested in just the world, not necessarily the story. And anything you do in it is a triumph. Especially when you're carrying someone.
yeah. Good, okay.
Yeah, I'd say the sports games are the best ones.
Well, and Neil, why do you think this co-ops are the worst experiences?
I don't think they're the worst. There are, in my eyes, there are three elements to gaming. That's, you've got the single player, you've got co-op, and you've got online PvP multiplayer. Yeah. Now, that is the worst by a mile, for, in my eyes. Doesn't matter what you're playing, going up against somebody and having to put up with their crap is terrible. So that leaves you a single player and the co-op. I prefer a single player game just because I can play it at my own pace. I can take in, you know, everything at my own pace. And then you've got the co-op stuff, which works when you're looking at games like Strange Brigade and Sniper Elite. Going back to Zombie Army again, it works perfectly in those games. And that's where co-op comes alive for me.
It depends on the company as well, doesn't it? If you've got randoms, a lot of these co-op games, they're hard, aren't they, to enjoy? But when you're with the people you know.
But then that kind of moves across into the third category, I said, the multiplayer side of things.
Yeah.
When I think of a co-op game, I'm talking, you're playing it with your mates.
Yeah.
You know, people you know, people you've agreed, right, we're going to play such and such at 8 o'clock tonight. We will be there. We will have an hour of that.
Wow.
That will be fun.
Some will be there at 8, some might be there at half.
Yeah, you know what I mean, though.
Yeah.
And that's the best bit of co-op. And I guess when there's only two of you as well, it's better than when there's four of you, just because it gets closer to the single-player side of things again.
Definitely.
I think the trickiest bit about, you know, co-op, first of all, just talking about, like, you know, with twos or fours, is if, you know, I'm a big fan of stories, as we know, stories in games and narrative in games. You lose the narrative in games in co-op because you're chatting about something else.
You do, yeah.
Sometimes that, you can just get through something, which is fine because you're enjoying yourself. So the games that you mentioned, they were really interesting because it's like Strange Brigade, Zombie Army, even something like Crackdown, you know, the story isn't brilliant, you know, and it isn't the main thing. It's fun. It's kind of like, it's short, it's cheap. They have a shortcut scene, you're off. You don't got any backstory about who those characters are.
It plays out in the background, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. The next thing, and then you go through it all again. Yeah.
Which is kind of perfect for that type of thing.
Yeah.
The only one I thought did a really good job, and me and James played it, was No Way Out, James? The game, the two... And at the EA
A Way Out.
Yeah.
That was a really good sort of two player. You can only play with the two of you, and I did feel that time we sort of got the story. We had to shut up almost, didn't we, at times?
Yeah.
To kind of listen to what was going on and concentrate. But then still have that kind of fun co-op stuff of going, let's just explore this area. Oh my god, look at this. Do you see this? You know.
And you both had to equally contribute.
Yes.
You had to rely on each other. You couldn't have one not doing it and the other doing better. You both had to do well together.
Yeah, and you had to share things, grab something. Yeah. That was really good fun.
Definitely.
The Division as well, like we said, was, I think that does a kind of good job. But then I couldn't tell you what the story of The Division was.
No.
I know there was a disease, but I couldn't tell you anything else. And
is that because you played it in co-op? Though?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we played.
And you weren't taking it in?
No, and it didn't seem to... I don't know if it mattered that much. I mean, the world we took in, the story of the world in one sense, the locations you took in, and you really enjoyed looking around and exploring that and going, oh, look at this. You've seen this little area. What's that?
Mm-hmm.
I think you... And also, sometimes, do you find that sometimes in a four, do you find the little strange little things in the game when there's more of you playing? Does that make sense? Like the oddities of things. Because
like the Easter eggs and stuff like that.
Yeah, because you want to share that with someone.
Yeah, like on PUBG that time, you found that weird mannequin.
Oh, yeah.
And you wouldn't have found that if it were all split up. There's so much to a game these days that having more of you means you will cover more of the ground, won't you?
Yeah.
So you'll be able to find more of this stuff. Same with Division. I'd be like, come and look at this. It'd be a lovely painting or
a
Christmas tree.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I like that kind of exploring. I mean, that goes... Both of you played any kind of like multiplayer? I know Neil hasn't. Like a World of Warcraft type game. I'm trying to think of what ones on the Xbox are. Black Desert is one of them. And the Elder Scrolls Online. Yeah.
That was a bit messy. I couldn't get on with them games.
They haven't been that many on the Xbox, have there, to translate across. Mm-hmm. You haven't had something like World of Warcraft or can't think of another one on there. And that would be interesting to see in the next generation about that happening, something when you've got this huge universe and you're basically playing a game together, like us three would go out into a world, in a shared world, that would have a story that would go on for like, you know, for us to get to level 200, we'd be putting 80, would we be able to put 80 hours into a game?
I think 80 minutes is a bit unfortunate.
I was just going to say, the problem with that is it's such a huge open world and there's no end to it.
Yeah.
Whereas something like, going back again to Strange Brigade, you could sit down, you can hammer out a level in an hour, and that's it for the night. Nicely done. Come back the next day and do it again. Yeah. So there's kind of a defined end point, if you know what I mean. Something like these big MMOs, it's just too big.
Yeah, yeah.
To even worry about. And there's no end to it, is there? It's just on and on and on and on.
And there's something you said about, as a single player, you're experiencing something very different, aren't you, in some of those games? Even though you might play something for a lot of hours on a single player experience. For example, the game that me and Neil really liked, A Plague Tale, you know.
Yeah.
That could easily be co-op, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, in that sense. But
you'd lose a lot of it.
You lose it, yeah, you would. Yeah.
You'd lose an awful lot.
And you wouldn't have that same experience, would you, at all? You wouldn't get the story, you wouldn't get the atmosphere of the place necessarily, would you?
No.
Interesting. Best co-op experience? Anything that brings to the mind that's anything... funny or weird?
Zombie Army Trilogy. I just loved the entire playthrough, honestly. Okay. From start to finish. Because it was tricky, and when I played it, there was four of us, and there were certain levels we had to play over and over again because we couldn't do it in one go. But then you'd learn the pathways to take, you'd learn what's coming, you'd learn, you know, different elements of what's needed. Yeah. But that for me was the best, and then probably Strange Brigade just like behind that, to be honest.
Not Zoo Tycoon.
Have you played that together?
No, yeah, I played that with James, back in the day.
We hammered that,
we did. Yeah. I forgot all about that.
Found all the coins as well.
Oh my god!
Coins, yeah. If you'd like to know where the coins are, check out our YouTube channel. And there's a coin for every animal, and we've detailed them nicely for you. Yeah.
Good.
I forgot all about that game though. Christ. But no, it's not at the top of my co-op list.
Yeah, I think I'm with you with Zombie Army. That was so much fun. It wasn't easy either. Sometimes the games are easy. You get through it quickly, but there's no hard times. But we stuck together in the hard times.
You kind of needed all four people to be on
in
it
the
as
room.
Well.
Yeah.
In the room. In the room always helps, yeah.
Yeah.
But kind of on it and listening and communicating and pointing stuff out and that worked perfectly.
Good. Okay. Nice. What anything we're looking forward to next week before we go? James?
Just Glass Masquerade 2 coming out, really.
Oh, what Neil's been playing, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's progressed a little bit. but still, I enjoyed the first one, so...
If you liked the first one, you'd like the second one. It's,
yeah,
it's more of the same. It's just more of the same frustration and enjoyment.
I enjoy it.
In equal measures.
Neil, what are you looking forward to? Anything? You get your bike fixed?
Get my bike fixed.
Good.
There's nothing else more important in this world.
And hopefully you're going to get a day in that chip shop. If someone please would write in or send us a tweet.
I wouldn't say hopefully.
No, I would.
If it happens, it happens.
Right? That's all I think about. That's
can
my
you
wish.
Get right to someone and get it sorted? You're like a TV show.
Yeah.
She will fix it.
We can't do that anymore. That's gone. That's been wiped from history.
Exactly.
Right. No. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It happened before episode 50. That will happen. The only thing I'm looking forward to this week is a new TV series on Netflix called Lock and Key. And Lock and Key is based on a graphic novel that I think I read a while ago. And it's about these three siblings who move to an ancestral home after the death of their father. And they find that the house has these magical keys and it gives them powers and abilities. The graphic novel is brilliant. So I'm really interested to see what Netflix do with it. It's one of their big budget productions. And that starts on Friday. So I'll give that a go and I'll report back next week to you lot.
Good.
Brilliant.
Does that mean it's all out on Friday?
I don't know, actually. I think it is all out on Friday. I'm feeling it is.
It's one of them ones.
Yeah. But I've so much to watch. I'm behind and everything. All right. Right. Lovely. Where can we get you on Twitter, James?
You can get me on @OKGKO. And on Instagram the same.
And Neil, where can we get you?
Neil363. And all the site stuff, the Xbox Hub. You know, just search for it and you'll find it.
So have a look at some of the Let's Plays and the unboxing on the YouTube channel, all that things that we've been talking about this week. And we'll see you next week. Thank you very much, James.
Thank you.
Thank you, Neil.
See you later.
See you later on. Bye-bye. Bye.
You've been listening to the official podcast of the XboxHub.com. You'll be able to find all the notes of this show at www.thexboxhub.com/podcast. You can also check out our social feeds on Instagram and Twitter @TheXboxHub and search for The Xbox Hub on Facebook.